The Escondido United Reformed Church is a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We are committed to preaching the Word of God in season and out of season, and to make known Jesus Christ and His glorious gospel from all of Scripture. We do invite you to join us 9:30 and 6 o'clock on Sundays. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org, 1864 North Broadway, and Escondido is the address. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
If someone were to ask you the question, can I find God on the mountaintop? Can I find God on the basketball court? Where do I get the Lord? How do I know that I have the Lord? I don't see Him. Where do I receive the Lord Jesus Christ? We have all these commands in the Bible to come to Jesus, but I don't see Him. So where do I get Him? How would you answer these kind of questions? It's very exposing today, because if you don't answer it in the way that Scripture answers it, you'll often find yourself throughout the Christian life struggling to know whether you've really met and known the Lord in the way that He has revealed Himself. Thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. We are turning back to the book of Romans today on Abounding Grace and looking at chapter 10. Before we go there, we do invite you to go to the website at agradio.org to explore that website, to use many of the resources that are there for you, download the podcast, find maps to churches. So do please visit our website at agradio.org. Well, today we're continuing our study on Abounding Grace in Romans chapter 10. And all of this wonderful teaching in Romans chapter 10 is really given to us to answer the question that was raised at the beginning of chapter 9. Has God's word failed because of Israel's unbelief? And I believe the Apostle Paul is responding to something that he knows will be raised as an objection, a series of excuses to blame God for Israel's unbelief. Because how easy it would be after hearing of God's unconditional election to simply blame God for the fact that Israel has failed. And here before us is the grand mystery of God's powerful sovereignty in the salvation of a sinner and the sinner's responsibility to repent and believe the gospel. Many of these people see these things as totally irreconcilable truths and therefore become terribly lopsided in choosing one or the other. Some end up denying eternal predestination and end up in the horrible position that man attains to salvation by his own efforts and his own works, which becomes a denial of the grace message. On the other end, something that I think is a real danger also is that since God elects unto salvation, man is not responsible. He has no responsibility. It all lies in God's decree. Therefore, preaching, evangelism, praying is really only for the elect, because God can't be represented as sincerely calling and offering salvation to everyone to repent and believe. And so any sincere offer of the gospel is denied. You get a hard kind of person in this scenario. Their whole view of themselves and God and salvation is warped. The heart that God once displayed of Him saying, "I don't desire the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn and live," or the picture that He wants of His Son weeping over Jerusalem, all of that is denied. And today we're looking on Abounding Grace at how the Lord answers and explains for us why Israel failed. He's answering the objection that Israel must have failed because God did not put in place the means for them to receive their Messiah. And Paul responds to this by saying, God always had the means put in place for Israel to receive Jesus. But so many rejected, that was not God's fault. He wants this set before us today that we would be in awe and realize that we've been given so much more. Everything is in place so that we would hear the gospel call and not do as Israel did, that we would come, that we would believe. And so in verses 14 through 15, Paul is working backwards. What he is essentially doing is showing us that God has done everything necessary for us to receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He has chosen the means by which we are to appropriate and apprehend and receive and attain Christ's righteousness. This whole section, he's been showing why the Gentiles have attained and the Jews have not. They attained because they sought the righteousness of Christ. Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That comes by faith. We don't bring it to us. It was never attained by our works. That's why Israel failed. But Paul said something else shocking. Jesus is near you. He himself is in your mouth and in your hearts, you see. The sure promise is if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ in your hearts and you confess him as Lord with your mouths, you will be saved. And from there comes this intimate, close relationship, which our Christianity is defined by calling upon him. But how did he come to you? How is Jesus near to you? How did Jesus come into your mouth and into your hearts? This is a very important question. Can I get Jesus anywhere? Paul is saying God did it all. And in verses 14 through 15, he analyzes exactly what happens when somebody truly believes and is saved. Notice he works backwards. How shall they call in him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? This is a wonderful section of the Bible because God has just provided five necessities that are all in place for somebody to be saved. The first thing that must happen is God must send a messenger with his news. Because nobody can be saved without hearing Jesus. This is why Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord to send out laborers into his harvest." The Lord is telling us the first real necessity that he must do to bring salvation to somebody is send to the ends of the earth messengers. Messengers who bear some kind of news. And this happens with any servant. If you look throughout the Old Testament, God would raise up prophets and they would stand in his council. In Jeremiah's case, the Lord put forth his hand and he touched Jeremiah's mouth. And what that meant was that a messenger was coming with God's message. And so that's, the Lord has to raise up pastors and he has to send them. And what is their responsibility? Well, the next necessity is that the pastor go and the pastor give the message that the Lord wants the pastor to give. This message is God's message. And in preaching, God has chosen to speak and to work in the hearts of sinners. And so the preacher is sent, and as he proclaims the message, that is foolishness to the world, but it is God's power to save those who believe. So God raises up pastors. The pastors are sent. They go and preach. What's the third necessity? Well, Paul says, how shall they hear? Verse 14 literally reads, how shall they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Who are they hearing? The people recognize through the message that it's not the man they're listening to. This was always the cry of the servant, let me decrease that Christ may increase. But it is Christ they are hearing through the man. That's the amazing thing about the preacher. The verse is saying that one does not believe unless they recognize who is speaking to them. Jesus affirmed that. My sheep hear my voice. My voice is found as it goes out to the ends of the earth through the gospel preached. So this is very, very important today, you know. When we go to listen to a pastor, if he's doing his job, we're not ultimately listening to a man with his own set of ideas. His task, since he's on mission from the Lord, is to preach the message that's given to him. We are ambassadors, Paul said. And the necessity is that people hear that for what it is. It's a tough sell today when people don't really sit under the word. But you know, to the church with a highly critical spirit in judgment over the word. Jesus gave warnings about that. Remember what Jesus said, he who listens to you listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me. So the message is not man's message, it's Christ's message. And that's what needs to be understood, that if we don't like the message that God has told the man to preach, it's not the man we're rejecting. The man is just the postman. We're rejecting the Lord. And so he says, how will they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? Believing is the fourth necessity. You believe. So this is really important. Think about the chain here. God raises up preachers. God sends the preachers. The preachers preach his message. The people hear the message. What's the goal in the hearing of the message? Well, they must believe it in the heart. They have to hear and believe in the heart, confess with the mouth. And that's the beautiful truth that Romans is saying. And then what becomes the last thing? Well, as they hear and believe, what do? They call upon the Lord. Christ, save me. Deliver me. Deliver me from all of my sin, Jesus. Help me. Now, why is Paul saying all this? Well, Paul is saying all of this to announce to this world and to tell you, dear listener, God has done something very specific to put something in place so that Jesus can be received. And he's saying God has always done this. From the very beginning, he raised up and he sent preachers that salvation in this manner would occur. And this is so important today because we hear across the board that Jesus can be received over here, and you can get Jesus, get your spirituality outside of the church. And I'm telling you, you ever wonder why everyone's seeking and no one's really finding? We have all of these fads that come and go. I mean, just years ago, remember the prayer of Jabez? Well, if the prayer of Jabez really worked, why aren't people praying it anymore? If the 40 days of purpose really worked, why isn't it working anymore? These are fads. Oh, the Christian bookstore is full of fads. And we're not listening to the Lord about what he has put in place. It's almost as if the whole word church and sacraments and these sort of things are dirty words to people today. But God is telling us this is the means through which he works. This is the primary route he has chosen. It's not that God can't do other things. It's not that God doesn't have the power to save other ways. It's that God is telling you, here is the best and most effective and most blessed way by which people are going to receive Jesus. And that's why you just have to say, if you don't want to come and sit and hear Jesus preach, if you don't want to come to church, and you wonder why you're a spiritual wreck, you need to ask, what is your attitude really to what God has put in place to save you? So this is important. God has done everything necessary. And I want to encourage anyone listening to think about the importance of the preaching of the gospel, because he cites Isaiah 52:7 here to prove this. Notice what he says. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. He's highlighting here the glorious message that God has sent runners with to you. I mean, this is why we have preachers. This is why preachers are sent. They're given a good news. They're given gospel. And that's what gospel means. Gospel means good news. And God is saying, let me show you what beautiful feet are. You know, why are feet beautiful? What kind of feet are beautiful in God's eyes? It's pictured as a leather, beaten, bloody, smelly foot, dirty, have traveled from a great distance to bring you a message you would have never gotten anywhere else. You see, essentially, this is so powerful when we think about what our Lord is saying to us. He's raising up and sending preachers. That's why we go and we sit and we listen to preachers. When's the last time you've given reflection upon these things, about what the wrath of God will be like? The judgment to come. God has, from the beginning of the world, after Adam, sent preachers of righteousness. And these preachers were sent across the world. God has evangelized the world this way. And God is telling us in Romans 10, it's all put into place. Everything is in place for the sinner to be saved. And this is the important message of Romans chapter 10. I'm moved now by what I have to say in Romans chapter 10, because here's the sad reality, dear listener. Here's why this message is so important today. Listen to Romans 10. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, this is a sad reality. They have not all obeyed the gospel. God put everything in place. He sent beautiful feet preaching the gospel. But what is the reality? The gospel called people to come. The gospel called people to receive Christ. The gospel called people to turn from themselves and repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the painful reality we see throughout the Old Testament with regard to Israel? Many did not come. They would not humble themselves, even though God put beacons of light out everywhere, even though he sent prophets to call them to return to the Lord. I think of Elijah. Lord, the Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars and they put the prophets to death by the sword. And I'm the only one left. This is the painful reality, never something you expect in the ministry. Some men are raised up. And I've spoken with some who've gone through this. They go to people and they preach the message and nothing happens. The people don't change. They will not repent. I'm thankful to have ministered in churches where people hear the message and the Spirit is changing hearts by that message. I love to see that. I love to preach in a place where people are hungering and thirsting after the Word of God. But why doesn't this happen everywhere? Let me give you the reason today on Abounding Grace. Why don't people receive the message from God? I was pondering this. Listen to what he says in Romans 10 here, as he talks about not all have obeyed the gospel. This is what he next says. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You know, of all verses to prove the unbelief of somebody, there are better ones than that, aren't there? It dawned on me. You know where that comes from? It comes from Isaiah 53. In fact, it's the very first words of Isaiah 53. So I went back and I meditated upon those words and I was struck afresh with the negativity of the report. What is it about? It's all about Christ's sufferings. Here's the language. He has no form or comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we, on our part, hid our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. We hated him. He's borne our griefs and carried our pains. Yet we reckoned him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted and wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, our sins. And what is the report? Here's the report. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Do you hear the report? The report is of a bloody, crucified Savior, who's not beautiful in our estimation. He was split open in his body. The wrath of God fell upon his body and soul. The report is the gruesome death where his grave was made with the wicked. God himself smote him. And why did God do that to his son? Because of your horrid, rebellious hearts. Because you're always going astray in your hearts. Because you're always turning your own way. That's the report. Now, I would do really well on the scorecard tonight of most people. You know, I might even get a few more hundred people in where I preach if I didn't preach a message like that. I could gain a hearing if I told everyone they're beautiful people, that Jesus is here to fix their bad self-esteem problems. I might even get a big glass cathedral if I did that. If my preaching were a little more upbeat, a little more dynamic, if I smiled more and I made the atmosphere more relaxed, and I gave talks, and I was at a nicer tone, and I helped people along with their journeys and their difficult weeks, and I held up pictures, and I gave object lessons, you know, I think I could create a mega church. I think I know how to do that. Further, it wouldn't even offend people if I preached the gospel so long as I made everyone worthy to receive that gospel, right? In other words, pastors are loved today as long as they will at least pet the sheep and make them feel like they're good enough for the gospel. But here's the problem. That's not the report. That's not the message God has sent the messenger with. That's not what Isaiah 53 says. Isaiah 53 says that an undesirable savior was cruelly murdered, suffered a horrendous death, and it's your fault, dear listener. It was our sin that caused that, because we always go astray in our hearts. It's the first thing Peter said at Pentecost, preaching the same thing. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. It's Stephen standing up and saying, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." When they heard these things, what happened to those people? They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. You see, you either hear that message and you get angry because it just exposed you, or you drop on your knee and you call out upon Jesus, and you see that really this is the most beautiful report that God could have ever announced to a sinner. So I've come to the conclusion, when Isaiah asked the question, "Lord, who has believed our report? And why have not all obeyed the gospel?" It comes down to one issue. People despise grace. The message takes everything from us. The report says you can do nothing. You can't save yourself. You cannot seek. You cannot find on your own. There's nothing good in you. In fact, the report says you offer absolutely nothing, nothing lovely to God. The report says that in and of ourselves, we cannot attain to God's righteousness. And without the righteousness of Jesus, without him becoming bloody and going to the cross, God will never accept you. You're going to perish. The message of grace is the most difficult thing for somebody hardened in sin to swallow. It's offensive to the legalist who's tied to his externals. It's offensive to the person who refuses to hear the truth about himself. It's offensive to everyone. And here's the point. In verse 17, he says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Do you hear the summary? True belief in the heart comes by hearing Jesus through the preacher preach that message to you. Dear listeners, this is so important today on Abounding Grace. It's through that message summed up in Isaiah 53 that God chooses to save, that the heart is warmed to Christ, and that Christ is loved and you follow with a life calling upon him. This is so important today. And that's why this is so beautiful, what we do. It's not popular to the natural man. They don't want a message like that. They just want to be told how to live their happy life. They just want to know how to always smile and to have a prosperous, wealthy life where they can build their little kingdom here on earth. But Paul is raising the point that that's not the message. I say, verse 18, "Have they not heard?" He's right back to Israel. "Have they not received the report? Was the gospel not preached to them?" He cites Psalm 19. "Their sound has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." This announcement of God's eternal power has been announced everywhere. Israel had the law and the prophets. Christ was spoken through the law and the prophets. What would be your question? Well, in my mind, didn't they see Jesus in the law and the prophets? Did Israel not know? Did Israel not understand that all these things pointed to Jesus? They had a whole sacrificial system. He goes right to Moses. I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. And Isaiah is very bold by saying, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. You see, what Paul is saying here is that the gospel was known. The gospel was understood in Israel, and the gospel was rejected in Israel. God stretched out his hands all day long to a disobedient and a contrary people. And the Lord is telling us today so that we would not make that mistake. If we turn away from the church and refuse to listen to the gospel, we're doing the same thing as Israel did, rejecting the Messiah. Jesus has been announced in the gospel preached, and God has raised up preachers to preach that message that when you come and hear it, you would be saved. Come taste that power, dear listener. Come into the church and receive the means of grace and hear the gospel, which is God's power to save those who believe. Abounding Grace Radio. We're always grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Visit us on the web at agradio.org and download the podcast and write to us and tell us how these messages have been a blessing to you. agradio.org. Thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you. If you're looking for a church with biblical worship, Christ-centered preaching, and the love of the family of God, we invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our worship service times on Sundays are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.